بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, couple of residual matters with regard to the nikah which we mentioned yesterday, and then we'll talk a little bit more about some other aspects of marriage. One is the practice that seems to be quite common nowadays, which is that they do the nikah and then they do the rukhsati after some time. Sometimes it is a few months, sometimes it is a year, sometimes it is 2 years. Now the important thing to understand is that as far as the nikah is concerned, once you have done the nikah is valid. Those two are husband and wife. They can do anything they want, which husbands and wives do. Your rukhsati or no rukhsati has no relevance whatsoever on that nikah. So this is important to understand. Please don't think that just because rukhsati has not happened, therefore they are actually not married. No, they are completely and truly and fully married. Nothing more remains. Rukhsati or no rukhsati, they are husband and wife. So this is something to be clear in your mind about. Ideally speaking, this postponing of the rukhsati itself is not the sunnah. You get married, you go home to your husband's house. But people are doing it and the ulama have permitted it, so. But remember that it doesn't change anything. The marriage is valid and it is done. Done and dusted. So nothing else to be done beyond that. Second issue is with regard to second marriages. Somebody asked me this question, what about second marriages? So I said people get married for the second time for one of three reasons. First reason is the first wife died. So he's getting married for the second time. Second reason is that the first wife was divorced. So she hasn't died, but you divorced her. Talaq khatai has happened and now you need a second wife, so you get married. Third reason is because you are tired of life, so you get married for a second time while your first wife is still there. Now, point is that with regard to the first wife who has died, that matter is over, so you get married for a second time. If the first wife, you divorced her, and if she is still alive, then many times you find that because in some cases what happens is, with the divorced wife, there are also children. So the father obviously has visiting rights and so on and so forth. And if the divorce happened in an amicable way, which is how it is supposed to happen, without any bad blood between them and so on, whatever reason they could not get along, so they have separated, but in a nice civilized manner. But the other side of that nice civilized manner is that many times this ex-husband and ex-wife, they continue to relate. I'm not saying they are in bed together, they may not be, but they continue to relate like they used to when they were married. So we say, oh, we are old friends. Now please understand, Islam has no scope for this. As far as you are concerned, the woman you divorced is now a stranger to you. She is non-mahram. You cannot be together with her. You cannot be in the same house with her. You cannot be in the same room with her. Right? Of course, if there are a lot of people and so on, that's okay. But other than that, you cannot do, for example, there might be children, you are obviously common children. You might say, let us all go together for a holiday. No, sorry, can't be done. You cannot go together for a holiday for the simple reason that lady is not married to you. So she is not mahram to you. For you to be with her is haram. You can go together with a holiday provided your second wife is also with you. Then it's a different matter. Then you are a couple. She is a single lady. She has her children. No problem. But if your second wife is not with you, you cannot go on a holiday with your ex-wife and your children. With your children, you can go, no problem. They are your children. But ex-wife, you cannot do. So this is an important thing to understand. A third point, as I said, is you get married while you have a wife and you get married for the second time. And as I said, this is because you are tired of life. So that's up to you. The reason I'm saying is, I'm not just joking. Alhamdulillah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted is good. So I'm not against it or anything like this. What Allah has permitted, there is a reason why He permitted it, and there is a goodness in it. However, very important to understand, and the ayat of Surah An-Nisa are very clear about this, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it absolutely and totally clear that the treatment of the two, three or four wives has to be absolutely equal. And if it is not equal, then the man will be held accountable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will be punished. So think very carefully before you get into that situation. And to the extent that in the last part of Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you should treat them equally, but you cannot do it. I mean, the Quran is itself saying you cannot do it. The Sahaba came to Isa and they said, Ya Rasulullah, this is the fact, because we have more than one wives and this is human tendency. I mean, I would like to treat them all equally, but I like one more than I like the other. I mean, this is, what can I do? I mean, my heart is, you know, I don't like all of them exactly the same way. And how, in any case, how do you measure? There is no measurement of love or something. So, what must I do? So, Rasulullah said, like and how much you like and so on, that is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and between you and this woman. However, in material ways, in terms of the amount of time you spend with each one, in terms of the money you give, the property you give, the gifts you give, everything has to be exactly the same. So if you buy one a car, you are buying four cars. If you buy one, whatever dress you buy, you are buying four of those. If you have four wives, I'm saying, right? So please understand this. Time, literally by the clock, you spend 6 hours with one, you are going to, on the exactly at that 60th minute, you are going to walk out and go to the next one and spend 6 hours with her. Now, think before you decide to do that. I have a friend who married two wives, and then his thing to me, one day he was there and he was going somewhere. So I said, where are you going? He said, now it's time, I have to go there, to the other house. So in the middle, we were all sitting there for dinner and so on and so forth. In the middle, he gets up, he said, I have to go. This is the other house. And he's, you know, he's holding his head and he's saying, I didn't realize this before I got married. Alhamdulillah, he's a dindar person who understands his responsibility. But the point is that, think very carefully, because do you really want this responsibility? If you want it, most welcome. Allah has given you the freedom. But before you exercise the freedom, give it a lot of thought. Right. Marriage is not a joke. Marriage is not a joke. Marriage is not some, you know, hum Hyderabad mein bolte hain gudiyon ka khel nahi hai, guda gudi ki shaadi karke ho gaya kaisa khatam nahi hota. It's a permanent thing. It's a huge responsibility. And alhamdulillah, if you exercise it well, then it is the most beautiful thing in the world. And if you have multiple wives and you have a beautiful relationship with all of them and they are all happy with each other, all power to you, no problem at all. But that is not usually the case. We have to understand this very simply. The best way to understand this is, in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu made it permissible for, and we know all the reasons, I'm not going into that. Allah made it permissible for a man to have multiple wives. Right? How about if Allah had made it permissible for the woman to have multiple husbands? If your wife was sleeping with you today and tomorrow she goes to another man who is also halal for her, how would you feel? Just imagine this. How would you feel? That is exactly how she feels when you go to your second wife who is halal to you. She is not complaining. She is not saying what you are doing is haram. But understand, the human nature also Allah created. It didn't come from somewhere else. And Allah created the same nature in the man as He created in the woman. Make no mistake about this. So anyone who thinks, we see this in the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, our mothers. There was mutual jealousy between them. When he went from one house to another house, this person didn't like it. Right? And you read the seerah, there are plenty of incidents, including in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. So if that was the case with the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, naturally the treatment, equitable treatment of the Nabi alayhi salam, nobody can equal. So even where there was such equitable treatment between all the wives by the Nabi alayhi salam himself, what do you think will happen with you in your house? So have that consideration also. Understand this. Don't just say this is the law. Yeah, it is the law. No doubt about that. It is the law. She is accepting the law. But don't expect her to like it. And if she does not like it, you understand and have this consideration to say that if I was in her place, would I like this? You know and I know the answer to that, right? So, let us be very clear and very considerate. Those who have more than one wife, all power to you. But please understand, it's a very big responsibility, and for you to be compassionate to your wives, to understand them, to understand what they are going through. For you, it's easy. You pick up your bag and you go. For her, it is not easy. For her, it is very, very difficult. And the fact that she is accepting it, and when you come back, she doesn't put something in your food, that's a, you know, blessing. That's a blessing for you. But appreciate that. I mean, don't just take it for granted and say, oh, kya karna, ye to Allah ki ijazat hai. Ijazat hai, isme koi shak nahi hai. I'm not denying that. But also understand and show that compassion and be kind and be nice. Many times we find this happening, which is that the first wife, and usually the first wife is the one you married when you were young and you were, you know, a pauper and you had nothing, and she slogged with you. And I know a case where these two were together. There wasn't a stick of furniture in the house. Nothing. They had no money. So there was just one bedroom, flat they were staying in. And they used to put one mat on the ground and they would sleep on this mat. On top of that, he had a small child also. So the woman is looking after the child. She's cleaning the house. She's washing his clothes. She's sleeping on this mat. She's cooking his food. And then they put a sofa and they sit and eat on the floor and so on and so forth. Then when the chap she passes through this whole, she is with him through all of this slogging when there is nothing. Now he is wealthy, he marries a second time. And not only does he marry a second time now, because of this second time, this one was with you for the last 20 years. So she is like, she's showing some sign of wear and tear. This new one is straight off the assembly line, right? Please understand. Please understand this. I mean, this is not funny. Huh? This is not funny. Many times you see this. First wife gets abandoned completely. And then you tell the person, you say, no, paise dar raha. Kya paise hai? Kahan se dal raha bole waisa? Kya tha paise diye to? Many people think this. No, I'm giving her money. I've given the... It's not a question of money. She's not a beggar waiting for your charity. She may need it. That's a different issue. She needs your company. She needs affirmation. She needs you to show that you appreciate the fact that she took care of you when you needed this care. Okay, today you have money and so on and so forth. You can afford this, afford that. At that time, when you could not afford, she stuck with you through the thick and thin. Right? So easy to walk off. Please understand it. These are things which I always tell people. Fear the dua of the woman who is innocent because of what you are doing to her. Fear that more than anything else. She is a religious woman. She is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear the day when she raises her hands because her Rabb will be listening to that. She has no one to listen to her in this life. But her Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu on his arsh is listening to that. Fear that. Do not put her in that position where she has to raise her hands and make dua against you. So once again, as I said, most welcome. Marry two times, three times, four times. If Allah permitted you, who am I to prevent? But I am also want to make this clear. Allah did not permit you without boundaries, without limits. These are the limits. So understand that, and by all means, have a beautiful life within those limits. That's what the limits are for. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to have good lives, live them responsibly, and in a way which pleases Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.